What is the change in your mindset that you have to make when you become a manager? Think about it. For all this time, you've probably been a solo performer, and now I'm a manager. So what's the biggest difference in my mind that I have to make in order to be successful? Well, we're going to dive into that today. And by the end of the episode, you're going to have five different strategies that you can apply right away to help you become the best manager you can be. Hi, I'm Glenn Pasch, and welcome to another episode of You're in Charge, Now What?, the channel that empowers new managers and experienced managers with practical, real-world solutions to help them become more confident and more effective as a leader. Each week, we're going to dive headfirst into all the challenges that managers run across and provide them with tactical solutions that they can apply right away. So today, we're going to dive into the mental approach of making that change from solo operator to manager. Let's dive in. All right. Back again. Thank you for joining me on another episode of You're in Charge, Now What? And it is probably one of the toughest changes for individuals when they become a manager, especially if they were successful as a solo operator, and now they're going to manage a team of people doing what they did. So for example, sales is usually one of the easiest examples that we can do. But if I was a top salesperson and now I get promoted to be the manager of the sales team, what's different in my approach? What's different mentally? Because I will tell you, I have trained thousands, probably close to 10,000 managers in my time. And one of the toughest things that individuals who become managers deal with, if they were successful and now they're running that team, the frustration level that they have, they just don't understand how to make that change without just giving up. And those that do, those that I've helped through this, once it clicks, they accelerate. And all of that passion and all of that commitment and all of that, that focus that they had as a solo performer, they now know where to channel it into their teams, and then their teams dominate. So here's, I'm going to give you the strategies to help you. And I want you to make sure you're honest with yourself as we talk about these, because sometimes it's not easy to admit that I'm being frustrated for the wrong reasons. Okay. So number one, as a solo performer, you only worried about yourself. That's all that mattered. You focused on your routine. You focused on your execution of tasks. You either listened to training or you didn't. Didn't matter. But the point was, is that I only had to worry about me. If I had a bad day, I only blamed myself. If I had a good day, it was all about me. That's the mentality of high-performing individuals. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be great managers. There are countless examples of high-performing athletes who tried the coaching realm and were not successful. It takes a certain type of a person to be that manager. You have to be organized. You have to be have that mentality of being a coach or a teacher. And one of the things that is key is patience sometimes. And high-performing solo people sometimes do not have patience for other people. They just don't understand it, why that person's not as driven as they are. So making that switch is really, really important. Now, in our previous episode, when we talked about the manager's first 30 days, it was episode 175, I believe, we talked about understanding coming from inside or being, being promoted from inside or coming in from the outside when you're taking over, and the pros and cons of both of these. So again, when you as a high, a solo performer, becoming a manager, coming in from the outside, no one knows you. The real danger is in this situation, mentally making that change, is the fact that if you're promoted from within and you were sitting with these folks, and you were on the team, now you're running the team, they know all your good and bad points. They know when you listened to the previous manager or you didn't, and you had your attitude or you might have had your ego and that was all on display. And now they're going to ask you to flip the switch and be a coach. There's a lot of work that we have to do. So it is important for you to understand as a solo performer, especially if you were on that team, you have a lot of work to do. Because again, you have to be honest with yourself as a solo performer. When were you a great teammate and when weren't you a great teammate? Because now you're going to be the leader and you might have to patch up some old wounds. Now, as we're moving now into the second point, which is this idea of I have to focus on the team. Let's assume let's pick a number, 7 people on the team. I, as the manager, have to worry about 7 people, not just myself. So now I have to make sure 7 people are following the process. 7 people have different skill sets or level of skills. Some person is brand new. Someone was a high performer. Someone is, you know, a parent who has a child and they come in at a different time than someone else does, or how people talk to each other. All of a sudden, I'm responsible for 7 people. I'm no longer just worried about myself, where I could look at my superior and say, yes, it was me. Now I have to worry about Bob didn't do what Bob's job is. And that's a hard mental switch. So I want you to think about and do this exercise for me right now. I want you to take a piece of paper and cut it in half, and on the one side put good and one side put bad. And I want you to list down, when I say a good manager that you work for, a good leader that you work for, what were some of the things that they did, or maybe that they said that you said, I like that person, they did a good job. Then on the other side, when I said bad and I said to you, that's a bad manager, a poor leader, what were some of the things they did? And I'm sure that list may come faster or be longer than the good, but that's okay. The reason why I want you to start there is once you finish that, I want you to look at those lists and say to yourself, do I do any of those? Have I done any of those? And if you have done any of the negatives, course correct. Make sure you're not doing them. And if you didn't do any of them, just be aware, because most of us, I will say, we are all normal in the sense that if that bothered you, it's going to bother someone on your team. So don't do that. If these were good things that someone did and you liked it, some of your team is going to like that as well. So again, we want you to be aware of that as you approach your team. So here's a couple things that you're going to have to prepare yourself for when you're moving into team focus. It's that idea of different levels. Some people learn faster. Some people learn the way you did. Some people don't. Some people, you're going to have to repeat yourself multiple times. And here's where the frustration comes in. Why aren't they as good as I am? Why don't they get it? This made sense to me. They don't work as hard as I do. Understand, you're in your position. You accepted this position because you wanted more. There have been many times where I started at a job alongside of another 5 or 6 people, and after a year, I moved up and they didn't. 2 years later, they were still in the same position because that's what they wanted. That fit their lifestyle. They didn't want the hassles of running a team. They didn't want to be responsible for other people. That's okay, but you need to know that. You need to understand it. Go back to the episode on the first 30 days where we're interviewing each of our team members to understand what they're looking for. I don't want to push somebody into management who doesn't want to do management. That's going to be a waste of my time. But just understand that you are going to be frustrated. As I said, I've trained so many thousands of managers. One of the biggest discussions, there's always a point. Maybe it's 2 weeks, you know, 30 days in. That new manager is in my office complaining about the team. They're not as serious as I was. They don't work as hard. They're all stupid. They don't understand. I don't understand why they can't get it. And I have to walk them through the fact of maybe they weren't trained as well. Maybe it takes more time. Remember, part of coaching is patience. Doesn't mean you have to be easy on them, meaning holding them accountable. But some people, it might take 2, 3, 4 times to repeat yourself or come at it at a different way. They're not going to just get it the first time you say it. And we're going to have a whole future program on how to coach people. There is a coaching process, and it's important to understand that. But you're trying to move a whole team, so you have different levels. It's important for you to be organized to know Glenn is a new hire. Bob is a year into this. This Mary is at this level. So I know what I'm working on with each individual person to push them forward. I can't push the whole team forward without moving all the individuals forward. Now, so that's number two. Again, that frustration is going to come. Number three, and this also is very, very important, is you are going to feel at times that you're not doing anything. You're going to miss the buzz of the frontline action, making those calls, having those conversations, winning the deal. It's almost like you are addicted to that adrenaline of the chase, especially if you were a top performer. You loved that interaction. You loved being busy. Now you're making the switch where I'm observing someone from the sideline. So again, think of it. I'm running the play out there on the field performing, or I'm on the sideline and I'm watching. There's definitely a distinct difference. So now I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm coaching. I'm not in it. I can't push people aside. That also is important for you to understand. Your job is no longer to do the job. Your job is to coach them to do the job. There's an extra step. If you push them out of the way and just go in and do the job in order to win and the team wins, that person is not going to be successful long term. You have to coach them. Show them what you're doing. That's great. As long as they're there and you're coaching them and you're watching them execute, that's going to be your job. And so sometimes you're going to feel like you're not doing anything. It happened to me. I got promoted to a corporate position, so I was no longer in the field, and I sat in my office for the first 2 weeks feeling like I wasn't doing anything until someone, my supervisor, said to me, "You understand that if your team now are these eight people and you coach those eight people, even if it's over the phone or remotely, they're going to impact all these other people. You can't go coach all these frontline people anymore. This is your new team." And once that clicked into my head about how to approach it, all of a sudden my teams became more successful. And I became, yes, less active, but more effective, if that makes sense for you. Now, it is very important. And the reason why I wanted to say that again is it's very important, especially if you're coaching remote teams where you're going into somewhere. You don't want to go in there and do their job for them. I know it sounds really hard to say. Basically, if I'm going into a remote situation, my job is to follow the person who I'm coaching around and watch what they do all day. And you're going to say, "Yeah, but that's not having an effect." It is having an effect, because now I know where to coach them in order to make them more successful. So remember, you're not doing their job. Your job is now coaching them to do your job. It's a big mental switch. All right, let's take a quick break before we move on to number four. Again, I really do appreciate you being here. There are some of you who have reached out for information on the online leadership course that I have, or also wanting some one-on-one coaching. So if you'd like that or more information, just click the link in the bio and fill out the form, and we'll have a conversation to see how we can help you accelerate your leadership journey. And I want to thank one of our sponsors, PCG Digital Marketing, for helping put on the show as well. All right, let's get back into it. So number four, again, you're hopefully you're hearing this theme here in this episode. Number four is this idea of coaching versus doing. You have a playbook. You should have a playbook, a written playbook. So again, your job as a coach now is getting everyone to execute on that process. Do they understand the process? Do they know how to execute on the process? Do they understand why they're doing the process? Do they understand how all of those actions generate the results? Do they know when they're doing a good job versus when they're not doing a good job? And your job now is coaching them, where before all you had to worry about is you doing your job. And whether how you received coaching, that's a separate conversation. But it's very important for you to understand you are now a coach. You are not the performer. That is your job. And it's really, really important. And then number five is this idea of moving the whole team forward. understanding who's on your team, where they are at each level, and then layering in other factors. Maybe you're dealing with someone who's more experienced than you. How do you coach them? As I said, we're going to go through a whole episode on the coaching process. But the key to coaching someone who's more experienced is complimenting them, but making sure that they're following the process that you need. Maybe you're coaching someone who's brand new. Maybe you're coaching someone who's older than you, someone who is of, you're a woman, you're coaching a man coaching a woman, different levels. So you have to understand that I'm approaching everybody potentially a little differently based on who they are, what they're looking to accomplish, and what their level of skill is. That's why it's important for you as a manager to be so organized, keeping your notes, opening up. If I'm going to work with, let's say you're going to work with me today, you should be prepping for this time as a coach, prepping for your meeting. Where is Glenn at? Where are the results? What training have we done before? Are they applying it? Are they not applying it? So I'm prepared for my coaching session. So this last piece of coaching all of these individuals, moving the team forward, it's so important for you to be prepared and organized at all times to know where the team is in terms of their results, where we as a team need to move forward, and then each individual person, where is Glenn on his journey? How is Glenn performing? What are the goals we've set for Glenn? Is he achieving? What is he doing well? Where are his areas of opportunity? What have we talked about? The more organized you can be, it'll be easier for you to move the whole team forward, coach them as individuals, but ultimately we're all going off the same playbook with the same goal in the same direction. So just to recap again, when you're going from solo to a manager, you have to worry about more people, not just yourself. That's going to potentially cause some frustrations because I have to worry about all of these people. I have to deal with their outside life experiences, meaning they're late, they didn't show up, they have a child who's sick, they have to leave early. I have to be held responsible, sit in front of my supervisor and say, why is the team underperforming, and not turn around and go, well, Glenn's not listening to me. But that's my job as a coach, to make them listen to me and get me to perform. That's my job. That's that biggest change now, is dealing with the frustration of why these people are not applying what they're doing. You making that switch of coming off the field onto the sidelines and understanding my job no longer is to perform. My job is to coach the team to perform. And then becoming organized enough to understand where the team is, more importantly, where all the individuals are in their journey, what their experience, what I'm expecting from each of them, and being organized enough to prep for those meetings to make sure when your time one-on-one with your team is effective and impactful for them and for your team. So thank you so much. Hope you found value. And don't forget, if you did find value in this, please share it out to your network. I'm sure there's somebody else out there that could benefit from the conversation. I so appreciate the time that you spent with me. I know there's a lot of places that you can consume content, but the fact that you spent time with me means the world to me. Don't forget to subscribe, because each week we're going to be diving in, as we say, onto the challenges that you have. So if there's topics that you'd like to talk about, throw them into the comments. I will try and answer them. Or we have a lot of great guests that are coming on this season show to answer these questions, to share their perspective, what they do for their teams, in order to help you become the leader that you want to be. So again, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.